Let's give a pause for our Lord Jesus Christ. Wonderful worship here this morning. Wonderful worship. We're starting a new series called Freedom. Freedom. And today's title of today's message is called Break the Cycle. Break the Cycle. If you think back in just your family, and you may have been raised in a horrible family, a family that had a lot of issues. I mean, maybe there was a lot of fighting. Maybe you were raised in a family that was consistently in church, but there's things you can think back of your own family. You're like, man, my parents could have done better in that. Surely I would do a better job and have no issues whatsoever. You can laugh a little bit, right? I mean, we know that's not true. We know that we as parents, we can easily goof things up. We know we have our hang-ups, and we know that we try to learn from our past mistakes and learn from our parents. But you ever notice that the more that someone wants to not be like their father, I will not be like my father, they end up being like their father. You ever notice that? Why is that? It's because it's in our DNA. I mean, you get your DNA from your father and your mother. It's a little bit of a mix between them, obviously. And from the color of your eyes, the color of your skin, your makeup, the way you look. It's my family. For example, some of you have met my parents. They've been here a couple times. But if you were to listen on the phone to my father, we sound almost identical. It's hard to tell us apart. My grandmother always could. One of them. The other one, I got to tell some of that story. Those stories. I'll move on here a little bit. I'm getting myself in trouble. But they could tell who was who. But you can tell that with your parents, of your makeup. And what you look like. Both my parents have dark hair. My dad has green eyes. My mother has brown eyes. My brothers all have dark hair. Well, they won't have any hair now. I'm the only one with hair. I enjoy that too. And I do rub that in. I'm the only one with hair. See, but they're taller than me. So I figured they just kind of outgrew. They grew out their hair is what happened. And you got to love brother jokes, right? Especially when it comes to those kind of things. But if you were to look at my brothers, though, in fact, my wife looks more like their sibling than I do. Odd, very odd. But what's the deal? Was I adopted? No, I'm the oldest. But my grandfather had blonde hair. He had blue eyes. My great-grandmother had blonde hair and blue eyes. So it's in my family. But it's always interesting when, as a kid, I would be out with my mother shopping, because my dad would be working when we were younger, and all my brothers would be there. You imagine shopping with four boys. My mom has to get a crown in heaven just for doing that. But we'd be out, she would see an old friend, and the old friend, and this happened more than once, and finally it kind of came a little bit of a joke. Oh, your boys are so beautiful and cute. Who's that? I'm like, thanks. Like, really? I'm like, I'm the oldest. But anyway, I don't look like them. But it comes from your DNA. And so we look like how we look like because it comes from our heritage. It comes from those before us. But you see, our physical DNA, though, is not the only thing that gets passed. Our spiritual DNA gets passed as well. Many believe in theology that faith is passed down through the mother. It's not that the faith of the father does not influence our children. That's not what I'm saying, but the sin nature is passed down through the father biblically, and the faith is passed down through the mother. And so we have our physical DNA, we also have our spiritual DNA. So we not only pass along our good looks to our children. Amen. All right, I was going to see if someone was going to say amen or not. If you don't say amen, well, that's for you to deal with, I guess, but not Ronnie for sure. But that is passed down along to us, and so we also transfer this sinful behavior. Our children pick up things about us. They pick up the negative, I guess you could say, the negative spiritual scars that are in our life. And the scars reflect kind of this negative transfer of the spiritual DNA that is passed down from one generation to another. So for example, for example, on some of these negative patterns in which we see, in which we deal with. Maybe in your family, your great-grandparents, they got divorced. Your parents got divorced. You went through a divorce. Sometimes things like that are generational. In fact, you may even feel like, man, my family is cursed to a certain degree. We're going to see here what the Bible has to say about that. You may feel in your life when it comes to generational things, transfer that we pick up, that our children pick up whether we realize it or not. They pick up how you talk. They pick up how you walk. But they also pick up on the spiritual things as well. They pick up on your faith. They can think, my great-grandfather King, who fought in World War I, never met the man, obviously, but my father did and knew him. And he was a man of great faith. My dad said he had damaged his lungs in World War I. He was a scout, and he got into some of the mustard gas. He could only work part-time jobs due to his service to our country. But my father said his faith was strong. In fact, he said, you could tell him, what does Romans 5 say, and he could quote it. I don't know if he had the whole Bible memorized, but he in general had it memorized. He was so much in the Word. But even knowing that, even though I did not meet the man, his faith in God, his faith in trusting God is passed down. And you can probably say that about your, maybe people you think of in your family as well. You see, there's positive and there's negative things that are passed down from generation to generation. So it could be that you have divorce that's been in your family. And it's going to seem like it's just passed down and passed down. It could be that in your family that it seems that those who were thieves and just seems to continue on down the line. That grandpa was a thief, or grandpa got in prison, my dad was in prison, I've been in prison. My family was on welfare, my parents were on welfare, my grandparents were on welfare, I'm on welfare. Now, we do need a welfare system to help people out, amen? But we also know that it's also abused, and that's what I'm referring to. What's going on? It's generational. We're transferring the spiritual DNA to our children, and then it's passed down along to our other children. For example, children, they're not born racist. It's something that they pick up. They don't pick up that hate. It's taught to them. It's taught to them, and they pick it up. Are those who are around them. Amen? And we're seeing that today. We're seeing that today in our society of dealing with race relations. And my message is not about race relations today. In fact, you probably have seen so much on social media. You're like, I'm just overwhelmed by social media. There's so many issues, so many things going on. And we may feel like, man, I can't really do anything about the craziness of the world. And it kind of leaves us makes us feel like we're powerless to a certain degree. But this is what I know. It's I can't always help the chaos that's going around me, but I can help what's going on inside of me. And so I'm going to trust in God, and I want to follow the teachings of Jesus about loving God and about loving my neighbor as unto myself. And so what can we do as a church? We need to love our neighbor. Love our neighbor, whether they are white, Black, Chinese, yellow, whatever we want to call it. We need to love people because they are made in the image of God. Amen? That they are made in the image of God. All of us are. And I tell you what we see in our society. We see this generational sin being passed down in every race, in every generation, it being learned. What's the answer? What's the answer for this chaotic, crazy time in which we're in? Jesus Christ, that's the answer. Because we are dealing with this sin nature, this DNA that is a part of our spiritual pattern that is being passed down. Your parents screamed at one another. You scream at your spouse. You may have seen your father hit your mother, and so now you hit your spouse. You grew up on welfare, your children are growing up on welfare. The cycle continues and continues because it's transferred. These patterns that are wrong are transferable, and there are many who do not realize they even are doing what they're doing. Now some will say, but preacher, that's just who I am. That's just the way I was raised. Exactly. You see, you and I, we are born what we call depraved. In other words, wicked. So, oh man, preacher, I didn't come to church, or I'm not here to watch church and be called wicked. But you see, you need to realize why you are the way you are. And the reason we're that way is because of our DNA, because of the way things started. And that we, as the Bible says, for all have sinned, and we fall short of the glory of God. We fall short of the requirement for heaven. Because this has been passed down. And so these patterns of negativity, they result in a lack of peace. They result in a lack of stability. They result in a huge amount of hurt. Huge amount of hurt. And it breaks my heart that we see in our society today that they think there's certain things that I'm not really worried about. That if you think you're in love with somebody, then you just move in with them. What happens is you move in with your spouse, or you hope to be your future spouse, and things don't work out, so they pack their bag, they get their toothbrush, and they leave. And that happens two or three different times. What's going on in our society? We're devaluing marriage. We're devaluing marriage. But because one couple devalues marriage, eventually they do get married, they eventually have children. And what's going on? That is passed down. What are we seeing in our society today? We're seeing the sins of the fathers being passed down and transferred to their children. And their children are then growing up, and it's being transferred to their children. You may think, well, Mama was a worrier. I'm a worrier. Dad had a temper. I have a temper. A parents, we're irresponsible, I'm irresponsible. And even when we want to change, it just comes right back because we think to ourselves, that is who we are, and you're right. That is who we are, but that's not who we have to be. That's not who we have to be. Notice this. Romans 5:12 says this. It says, when Adam sinned, all right, first man ever created, biblically, in the book of Genesis, sin entered the world. And Adam's sin brought death. So death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. This is part of my point of sin being passed down through, and there's other deeper, when you end up studying this, about sin being passed down through the male instead of the woman. Who actually sinned first? God, the woman you gave me. That's what Adam said. And men, we've been blaming our wives ever since. It's a good fallback, right? It's like, well, Adam did it. It's in my nature. I can't help. Okay, don't do that. But notice, God's not blaming Eve. He's blaming Adam. When Adam took of that sin, when he ate of that fruit, everything wicked, everything bad, everything evil, the seed was planted. And it spread. And if you think Adam and Eve didn't have to deal with that sin? They were reminded when Cain, their own son, killed their other son, Abel, the first murderer in the Bible. Oh, how it would have broke their hearts. Oh, how they had sweet communion with God. They were in the garden of God. Some of you love the garden. There was no weeds in this garden. I mean, it was a perfect garden. They could eat of any fruit, anything. I mean, anything they wanted except for those two trees they had to stay away from. And they were kicked out of the garden. Now they had to sweat. Now they had to work hard to earn everything they had to earn through the sweat of their brow. And some will say, man, why didn't God make all this in perfection? He did. In fact, after he created everything, he sat back and said, ooh, this is very good. But mankind, we messed it up. We messed it up. And so therefore, the sin nature has been passed down from generation to generation to generation. Just as when you were a kid, no one had to teach you how to sin. With my three children, no one had to teach them how to sin. They just come up with it naturally. Some just get better at it. Some are just sneakier. Anyone else have that? I'm not going to talk about my kids and which one because I don't want to embarrass them, but they're not in here right now. But anyone have a sneaky kid? I was kind of the sneaky kid growing up, right? I kind of was. But you have to be about certain things when you're a kid. Like I love ice cream. I mean, I love ice cream. You said you could only have one dessert the rest of your life. What would it be? Ice cream? Easy. Piece of cake. I will take ice cream. But when you have three younger brothers and there's four boys in the house and you get this, we have this brand called homemade ice cream. When I go to Myrtle Beach or I go to Columbia, they sell it at the Fresh Market store so I can get it. It's great. It's divine. There's also Graters. I'm making y'all hungry. I want some ice cream right now. But with brothers, if they see you have ice cream, guess what's going to happen? They all want ice cream. And then the ice cream's gone. So as you get older, you get a little wiser. And being the oldest brother, I realized if I put this ice cream in a coffee cup and I hide the spoon, I can get away from them seeing. I wasn't so much concerned about hiding it from my parents. I didn't really care about that near as much because I was sneaky. But man, my brothers didn't want those punks to find that ice cream. Like, I wanted to keep that. See, we have a sin nature. No one has to teach us how to sin. It's in our DNA. Well, great preacher, you've just told me for about 10 minutes how bad I am and how I'm born a sinner. What is the answer? Are you saying then, preacher, that because we're born sinners, that it's not my fault? I like this. Keep on going now, preacher. Like, it's not my fault I am the way that I am. And that's exactly what the nation of Israel had in mind. So we're going to turn over to Ezekiel chapter 18. And we're going to jump around here a little bit. But here in Ezekiel 18, what was kind of going on was the nation of Israel had this idea that because of their fathers and their parents had broken the Ten Commandments, that they were being punished for the sins of their fathers. Now, that is to a certain degree a biblical statement. I mean, if you go to Numbers 14, we're not going to turn to Numbers 14, but Numbers 14 talks about visiting the iniquity. In other words, the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation. So, like, what we do does have an effect upon our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. You're like, oh, great. So my grandpa or my great-grandfather, maybe that you never maybe even possibly met, I'm going to have to deal with their sin. Is that what you're saying? Yes. Yes. And that's what they were saying. And they took this principle and said, well, if they broke the Ten Commandments, I'm just going to live how I want to live. And man, it's, you know, my kids can deal with all of the issues. But notice what this says. So before you think, well, hey, sin's going to be passed down. It's not my fault. I'll just pass it down. Do I really need to take responsibility for it? Yes. In fact, they missed the point of what God was trying to say. He was trying to show them how important it was for them to live their lives in faith and for the Lord. But they were irresponsible with this principle. And so God had a new message for them in the book of Ezekiel. He says, then another message came to me from the Lord. Why do you quote this proverb concerning the land of Israel? The parents have eaten sour grapes, but their children's mouths pucker at the taste. As surely as I live, says the sovereign Lord, you will not quote this proverb anymore in Israel. He says to them, you're not using that excuse any longer. He's saying, even though you were born a sinner, even though you were born knowing how to sin, it's in your DNA, you're not going to use that as an excuse any longer because you have a choice. You have a choice in this matter. Your mother and father may have demonstrated it. Your mother and father may have illustrated it. Your mother and father may have amplified it. They may have took this sin you all struggle with and just amplified it. But you took it on by choice. This was the message in which he was given the nation of Israel. To make things even more difficult in families and with our sin nature, and as we kind of spoke to last week, we are in the middle of spiritual warfare as Christians. It's unseen, but just because it's unseen doesn't mean it's not there. that we deal with. And to make things worse, dealing with this sin issue that's transferred, is that demons, who are fallen angels, right? There, some believe in ghosts. I do not myself. I believe what we may see as ghosts would simply be something eating bad pizza, watching too much Clemson football. That's probably it. Or if it really is something that is supernatural, it's of Satan and of his demons. That's just my opinion on that. I believe biblically it's what we see. But demons ride the transfer. They ride the transfer, and it makes things more difficult. And demons are like roaches that when they find garbage, they just go to it, and they multiply. We also could say they're kind of like raccoons. You ever seen raccoons when they find garbage? It's what raccoons do. Raccoons, when they find garbage that can easily get into, even if it's a garbage can that's open, they will go get their other buddies. They will go and get their mama and their daddy and their brother and their sister. I mean, there was a house I had once that had was next to a reservoir in Richmond, Indiana, when I was a youth pastor. I moved there and I noticed this beaten path. I mean, a beaten path that went for about 50 yards down to the woods. And I thought, man, what is that? That's weird. Maybe that's deer. It just was odd. And so I had my trash in the back. And you know what it was? It was like 15 raccoons trying to get in my trash can. You ever seen 15 raccoons try to get in your trash can by your house? That'll frighten you a little bit. And they're trying to open the lid to let their buddies in. I mean, smart little boogers. I mean, I eventually got rid of them. I won't say all the ways I did. I tried to do it humanely in other ways, but we won't go into that for you animal lovers. I'm a country boy at heart, so you got to help the critters out a little bit. But I did transfer a lot of them. I really did, except for one, maybe two. They met Jesus quickly, or hell, I don't know. But demons ride the transfer. And once they find garbage, they go get other ones, and they come. Some of you may be wondering, why it seems in my family there's like this history of alcoholism. And there is in mine. There is in mine. It's one of the and my wife's. It's one of the reasons we stay away from alcohol. We're just like, you know what? I don't think it's a sin to have a drink within and of itself. I don't think the Bible says that. Drunkenness is very clearly a sin biblically. We're like, you know what? We can never get drunk if we don't drink it. Our children can never sneak it out of our house if we never have it. It's like, you know what? That's just not what we're going to do in our family and our marriage. Because I know it's generational. I know maybe that could be a foothold that if I give an inch, that demons, because they ride that transfer, may just grab hold of that. And I don't want that in my family. You ever notice drug use is passed down sometimes family to family? Abuse passed down from family to family. It's what it says in 1 Corinthians. I want to show this here to you. So why is this generation? I don't know about that preacher. They ride the transfer, really? He says, you cannot drink from the cup of the Lord and from the cup of demons too. You cannot eat at the Lord's table and at the table of demons too. What? Do we dare rouse the Lord's jealousy? Do you think we are stronger than he is? This passage is not saying that you're actually inviting demons over for dinner. But what it's saying is this. It means that you fellowship with a sin that they assume is an invitation for them to come. Because they've seen it. They saw, oh, his grandfather dealt with alcoholism. He's now dabbling with that because maybe he's stressed out or he's having issues. Instead of running to Jesus, you're running to the bottle or you're running to that drug or you're acting out in an abusive way because of the hurt that is in your life, because hurt people hurt other people. And they see it. And our enemy, he has watched mankind over years and years and years. He knows our major struggles in general. He knows what buttons to push. Now listen, as we talked about this last week, when we talked about, actually I think it was Wednesday, I talked about what's behind all the chaos we're dealing with. What's behind all this chaos we're dealing with right now? One is our enemy. Our enemy, Satan, is behind all of this. But our enemy, as Christians, can't make us do anything. He can whisper the lies. He can put the lies before us. But when we have the truth of God's word to help keep us anchored and keep us straight, we know that we need the Lord in this. That he can't do anything to us. He can't make us do it. There is no, the devil made me do it as a Christian. He can influence us, but he can't control us. But when we start to dabble in that sin, we start to dabble in that sin, or we give into that sin that we know that we've seen our father dealt with, our grandfather dealt with, maybe even our great-grandfather dealt with, and the DNA part wants to continue that, a spiritual DNA, because it's transferred, and man, demons love to pile onto that. You see alcoholism in your family? You seen porn addiction in your family? What's going on? Man, it's transferable. Theft, it's just transferable. Abuse, it's transferable. So what do we do? What is the answer? Is it education? No. Is it money? No. What is the answer for us as a people, as a country? You overcome the transfer through Jesus Christ. That is the only way. That is the only way, is through him. Notice what Galatians says. This is a powerful verse, powerful passage. But those who depend on the law to make them right with God are under his curse. For the scriptures say, cursed is everyone who does not observe and obey all the commands that are written in God's book of the law. Let me stop right there. Maybe you're here, and I've asked people this before. Do you think after life, when it comes to the afterlife, are you getting into heaven? There are a lot of people who will answer, well, I think so. There are people who will answer, well, I hope so. They'll say, well, I'm a good person. I'm good to my neighbor. I try to help people out. And humanly speaking, they're usually pretty good people. In fact, maybe some may even think to themselves, well, I'm better than some Christians I know. And they might be, sadly. What's going on? What are they saying? They're saying, I tried to obey the law. Whether it's the law of the land or kind of the law of the PC culture, I try to obey and do what is right. That's what they're saying. They're saying, I think I'll get in because I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good at obeying the law. I'm pretty good at kind of measuring up. The scripture is saying that curses everyone who does not observe the law and obey the commands that are written in God's book of the law. So it is clear that no one can be made right with God by trying to keep the law. Ooh. You can't get into heaven by being a good person. You can't get into heaven just because you go to church. What is it saying? The law, the Ten Commandments, right? The Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not do this. Thou shalt not do this. Thou shalt not do this. On down the line. It shows us how we have disobeyed God, and how, if anything, the law is a mirror. You got up this morning, you looked in the mirror. If you're a lady, you put on some makeup. If you're a man, I don't know, you may have put on some makeup. Maybe it wouldn't hurt some of you guys from what I've seen. But not you ladies. You guys are doing fine. But you looked, you shaved, right? You ever try to shave without a mirror? Very difficult. Any ladies try to put on makeup without a mirror? Yeah. You may have seen someone who looked like they did that, but wise words, my friend. But the law is a mirror, and God gave it for the purpose of showing you and I that because of our spiritual DNA, because of the way we were born, we can't get into heaven on our own. We need someone else to help us. We need someone to save us. And that man is Jesus Christ. And so it says, for the scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. This way of faith is very different from the way of the law, which says it is through obeying the law that a person has life. But Christ has rescued us. I love that. He has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. When you look at the law, you see how undeserving you are of heaven. You see how much you really deserve hell, and how you don't deserve heaven at all. You may even feel, when you're here or you're watching, and you go, why would Christ even want me? Why would Christ even save me? And maybe that's how you feel. That's how you feel. And the fact is, we all should ask that question. God, why do you even love me? Why do you even want me? But God is love. He is love, and he came to save us. In fact, as it says, he came to rescue us. As we sang that song, he rescued me. That's exactly what he did. He rescued me because of what he did. When he hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse of our wrongdoing. For it is written in the scriptures, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. Through Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles. If you wonder if you're a Gentile, if you're Jewish, you're not a Gentile. If you're not Jewish, you're a Gentile. Regardless of what race you are, you're a Gentile. That's how the Bible sets us up. And with the same blessing he promised to Abraham, so that we who are believers might receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith. So not only does he save you, he gives you, he reprograms you. He gives you the Holy Spirit to help you. This is my third and last point. Once you get saved, and oftentimes new believers in Christ, they're surprised when they get saved. I mean, they're excited. They're saved. Like, man, I have a new life. God has forgiven me, and he does. But what's interesting is some of our habits that we have, some of our struggles that we have, the way we're programmed is still there because you are connected to this flesh. And so now you have a battle between what the flesh craves and what the Spirit of God wants who lives inside of you. And there's a battle, man. There's a battle. There's a battle going on. Notice what Galatians 5 says. And some of you right now, you're saved. You know Jesus. You may have been raised in church. But you have an alcohol. You're an alcoholic. And you're trying to shake it. You're addicted to porn. And you're, God, I need your help. You're addicted to some kind of drug or some kind of substance. You're addicted to, I don't know what it could be for you. And you're like, man, I'm saved. I know Jesus, but I'm dealing with it. How do I overcome? I believe the Bible tells us how we can overcome and what he can do for us. The first step is going to be repent. To repent, that means to do a 180. It means making some difficult, hard decisions. It may mean there are certain places you don't go any longer. There may be things that you don't do any longer. And it takes some time to kind of reprogram yourself. But you say, I can't do it on my own. It's like driving a car that wants to veer all the way to the left or to the right. You ever driven one of those cars? My brother-in-law had a car once that he didn't have aligned, and it would go to the right. He had me drive it once. I'm like, dude, Kevin, you're driving, man. I don't want to do this. Because as soon as you let go of the wheel, you're going to the right. And what happens in life, you're like, okay, I'm steering straight, I'm steering straight, I'm steering straight. Oh, look. And suddenly you're veered off, and you're like, how did I even get here? I thought I was doing well. Notice what Scripture says. What's the answer? So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your life. Will you let it? If you're going to let it, there's some things he's going to want to do in your life. Because you say, well, I want the Holy Spirit, but I want to hang on to my sin. He's not going to stay there. He's not going to fill you. See, every Christian is promised the Holy Spirit, what we call the indwelling. But we're not promised a consistently being filled by the Spirit. That happens at different times. We should pray every day to be filled by the Spirit. What does that mean to be filled by the Spirit? Very simple. It means that the Holy Spirit, who is God, is controlling me. My words, my actions, and the intents of my heart. So let the Holy Spirit guide your life. Will you let it? That's the first question. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. So there's a battle going on. So you got saved. He saved you. He's forgiven you. He is with you, right? But there's a battle. What the sinful nature craves and what God wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that we are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. And these two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under the obligation of the law of Moses any longer. And you may feel condemned this morning. Say, I know Jesus, man, I feel so condemned Like, I'm just not worthy of God's love. And what's going on is you've been set free by Christ. You've been set free from your sin. You have the ability to live the way he wants you to live by the power of the Holy Spirit. But you have a choice. You've been set free. He's taken the chains off. But some Christians, it's almost like they believe the enemy and say, okay, handcuff me again. Handcuff me again. But Christ has set you free. You don't have to be bound underneath that. You don't have to feel condemned any longer. In fact, Romans tells us this. Romans 8:1 says, So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And he has set you free. You see, you can be set free. You can break the cycle. And I want to say this here to you. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, I want you to know you can break the cycle through the blood of Jesus. If you know Christ and you've claimed the blood of Jesus, but you're struggling and you're like, man, I'm in a cycle, you can break the cycle by repenting, not for salvation again, but repenting and saying, God, I need your Spirit. God, I'm asking you to take control. God, fill me with your Spirit. I'm done trying to steer my life. God, I want you to steer it. I want you to empower me because I don't have the strength to overcome this alcohol issue I have. God, I don't have the strength to deal with the substance abuse I'm dealing with. God, I don't have the strength to overcome this pornography issue I have. God, I don't have the strength. And if we ask the Lord, he will help us and he will help you. He will help you in your life. And church, don't forget, the enemy wants you to feel like you are condemned, but I want you to end with this. John 8:36 says, so if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed, and don't let anyone else tell you that you're not. Let's pray. Father, God, I'm so thankful that you are patient and kind and long-suffering with us. That even when we disappoint you, God, in the way we live our lives as Christians, you continue to pursue us, to bring us back into the fold, to straighten us out by the leading of your Holy Spirit. God, I pray that you will fill us this morning, that we will repent of any sin that may be in our life, that we will ask the Holy Spirit to come, that we will change our habits of prayer and being in your word, and allowing the Holy Spirit to move in our lives. God, you know we're not perfect, but that's not an excuse just to continue in sin and to give in what the flesh craves. I pray that we see that here this morning, that we won't give up, but the Bible says a just man, a just woman, though they fall 7 times, gets back up again. There's some in here that need to get back up. They need to get back up. And I pray that your Holy Spirit will convict them and that they will let the Holy Spirit guide them. In the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Let's all stand up together. We're just going to stand up together and we're going to end this here in just a minute because we've got another group coming in. Just with our eyes closed and our heads bowed, say, Pastor, pray for me. Pray for me. There's a battle I'm going in right now between what my flesh is craving and the Spirit. And I'm praying for the Lord to fill me with His Spirit. Just raise your hands. So, Pastor, pray for me. Pray for someone in my family. Pray for my family. Whoever, we all should be raising our hands if that's what we're asking. You know, man, pray for our families. God, break the chains of our families. Break these chains of sinful transfer in our families, Lord. God, that the name of Jesus is lifted high. God, we love you and we thank you for your love for us. May we live this week, one day at a time, letting your Spirit guide us. In Jesus' name, amen.